Welcome to the Whole Business Podcast, where we focus on bringing whole life success to entrepreneurs and small business owners like you, providing conversations and strategies that align your business goals with personal well-being and financial success to help you thrive in every area of your life. Welcome to the Whole Business Podcast. My name is Steve Harris. I am a holistic business coach, a serial entrepreneur, and the COO of Gorgeous Business Solutions, a small business solutions company dedicated to providing actionable solutions to modern day business challenges. We're all about bringing whole life success to entrepreneurs and small business owners like you, providing conversations and strategies that align your business goals with personal well-being and financial success to help you thrive in every area of your life. So let's get started with this week's episode. Again, I want to thank those that have reached out, that have liked and followed. I'll probably say this for the next couple of episodes going forward. It is just such a privilege to be able to bring this to you, hoping that we're continuing to build a community of like-minded folks that are trying to grow and to strive and to find success in all areas of life. Obviously, being titled The Whole Business, this is most likely going to be viewed and followed and hopefully engaged with by business owners, small business owners, entrepreneurs, people that are looking to find business success as a pathway to creating success for themselves, their families, their finances, their health, and just to really make sure that they're finding a whole life holistic success in that. So this is, again, designed to be a community. So please do like this post, subscribe if you are following me on YouTube. It's on all the channels. So just like and subscribe, share, and let's grow this community so we can all look for ways to assist one another, to grow stronger, to encourage one another, to challenge current thought processes, as hopefully we're all on the understanding that we don't know it all and everything that we think is right isn't necessarily always right. So let's continue to challenge that and grow. So again, just thank you for being here. We've spoken about a couple of great topics already. I encourage you to go back if this is the first show that you are watching or listening to. We've talked about the importance of being congruent with our next level self, the version of ourselves that is different than what we are now, knowing that our current habits and attitudes and mindset and everything have taken us to a certain level, but that we're going to have to become somebody different to grow into that next level. And so having our actions and attitudes and mindset and skill set align more with that future version to achieve that next level of success. You know, that's just something that's just key. And I think that's a place where we absolutely need to start. We've also discussed making sure that we our values stay put and that we grow and align to something bigger. And then making sure that we are striving towards that right, bigger topic, that goal, that thing that really we have been at our core designed to be. And so that's going to, as we've discussed for the last couple of weeks, that's going to require us to go through some challenging times. That's going to require us to butt up against some, you know, unfortunately, probably some ideas and concepts that even some of the people that are closest to us hold true. And so we're going to have to challenge that and really continue to push through. We're going to come up against, even if you are not a business owner, or maybe you're in partnership with somebody else, we're going to have to learn how to stand up against what some people think is the way to do it if we're really trying to next level that. So how do we push through in that? You know, again, we talked about last week really having a solid understanding of what that next thing is, what that success looks like that's true to us, not somebody else's version. The next step in really doing that, and I talk about this a lot when I'm coaching clients and working with salespeople, is making sure that we make that very first sale solid. And that first sale I'm talking about isn't the first contract that you sign, isn't that first exchange of money, isn't that first commission check. But I'm talking about that first sale being you. Convincing yourself, and not just convincing as in tricking or duping, but really having a solid in your gut core understanding of what you were doing and why you were doing it. Now, this first sale, this conversation is going to probably reference salespeople. So I'm going to get that out of the way right here and right now. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is a negative connotation when it comes to salesperson. I did touch on that last week, where we do have a culture that misunderstands what that is. There's a negative feeling about it. Jokingly, people talk about the used car salesman in a tweed coat. That's just sleazy and cheesy. And sure, I understand that there are people that have absolutely created that stigma, and some of them even practicing today that deserve that stigma. So, but that's not what we're talking about. When I say salesperson or sales process, I am talking about anybody who is taking a product or a solution that is finding where that product or solution is best served, finding a client or a customer or a person who is in need of that solution because they have a problem, they have something that needs to be solved, they have a need, or as I used to always use the phrase, a itch that needs to be scratched, and then exchanging that product or solution to solve their need for monetary gain. Okay, so obviously, a lot of people, when they first think of salesperson, they think of car sales, right? That's just, we all drive cars. And so we've all had to at least experience that in our lives. And so somebody comes to a car lot, they are looking for a new vehicle for whatever reason. They're upsizing to a different car because they've had another kid. They're downsizing because they're empty nesters and now they can get that sports car. They have a car that has just failed, and so they have to replace that vehicle. There's a need there. And so then you have a car salesperson who their job is to say, hey, tell me what you're looking for in a new vehicle, and let me find a vehicle in my inventory that best meets your needs. Hopefully they find a solution that works, and hopefully that's the only reason that they're going forward to now the negotiation. And then they figure out, okay, what is this car worth to us? How much of a solution is it solving for us? And then exchanging that agreed upon dollar amount. Okay. It's quite simply that. That is sales. Now, a lot of salespeople don't carry the title of salesperson. It's funny, when I went from the car sales side of things into finance and sales manager position, and then into a real estate agent position, it's amazing to watch the mindset and the shift change in other people. So I was a salesman, then I was a finance manager director, and so now I was a little bit more professional, a little bit better received. Then when I became a real estate agent, it was, oh, okay, this is something that you could be proud of. The funny thing is, it's doing the exact same thing. It is finding a issue, a product, that scratch, itch that needs to be scratched, and it's deciding that my product is the best solution for them. So when I say salesperson, I'm talking about, yes, the car salesperson. I'm talking about the real estate agent. I'm talking about the mortgage broker. I am talking about the insurance salesperson. I am talking about the training program salesperson who is selling the coaching or training or licensing program that other people need. I am talking about a stockbroker. Okay, they're selling too. So we're all talking about the same thing. Guys, doctor's offices, dentists, restaurants, they're all selling something. So let's get that out of the way. Now, moving on from there, what is the first sale? The first sale is understanding that your solution is the very best solution for the clients. If you talk to salespeople, and I've talked to a lot of salespeople, hundreds and hundreds of salespeople in varieties of different industries, when you talk to salespeople that are struggling, one of the first reasons that they're going to say is why somebody did not do business with them is going to be price. Okay, they're going to say, gosh, if my dealership negotiated the price down quicker, I would have made this sale. Gosh, if this training program was cheaper, I could beat out the competition. If my brokerage didn't require me to get this commission percentage for a listing, I could have got that listing instead of the person down the block. You know what? Yes, there are going to be times that you are going to lose over price. That's just it. Your product may not be, may be the best solution, but you're not the only one selling the product. There are similar products everywhere. Okay, so price isn't going to do it if you're just putting price product. That's not going to make the difference in it. And so, yes, if you are relying on price, you will lose deals and you will lose opportunities. If a car salesman's missing out, they're going to say, you know what, this dealership isn't aggressive enough. Guess where they go? They go to another dealership. Interestingly enough, they find the same issues. I've been in that industry for a long time, or I was in that industry for a long time. It's typically not the dealership. Real estate agents, I believe the percentage is somewhere around 3 brokerages in the first 10 years of a real estate agent's journey. Now, some brokerages may have things that they don't agree with, but most of the time, if you talk to real estate agents, they're going to talk about the split, they're going to talk about the commission, and they're once again going to find out that, you know what, it is, they're going to determine in their minds that it is about price. Guys, if the first sale is made to you, and you put in the work to make sure that you have an understanding of how to become a professional salesperson, you're not going to lose it over price. Now, not going to toot my own horn here too much, but let's talk about why I found success in multiple industries, in sales roles, whether I'm selling cars, whether I'm selling back-end finance solutions at car dealerships, whether I'm selling training programs, whether I'm wholesale selling to retail businesses from an international wholesale company, whether I'm selling real estate, whether that's selling a buyer to work with me or getting a listing. Why did I find such success? The difference is between me and everybody else is I made that first sale and I made it strong. When I was in the car business, I did not know product knowledge better than most guys. Okay, most of them, honestly, they liked cars and that's why they got in that business. I did not get in that business because I like cars. They didn't matter to me. When people would ask specific product questions like the displacement or RPM range, or see, I still don't even know. I didn't know. I could get the solutions. I could get the answers for them. Gosh, it's right there on the window sticker. But why was I so effective in selling cars? I was effective in selling cars because I knew how to work with people. I knew how to discover a need. I knew how to figure out how to feature my product as a problem solver for their need. And then I knew how to build a relationship with them to when it came to the negotiation, it was just a matter of haggling over a couple hundred bucks here and there because it was really more about they wanted to feel like they won, or it needed to fit within a budget, or we needed to get financing secured for them. It wasn't about a confrontational negotiation. So how did I get to that point? I got to that point because I decided that in order to be a good salesperson, I had to understand and become the best. And again, this has nothing to do with product knowledge. So that when somebody came to the car lot, and I'll just keep using this as an example for right now, but I'm going to pivot into real estate in a minute. When somebody came to the car lot and they needed to buy a car for whatever reason, okay, they came on the lot because, hey, our kids just left and we don't need this big SUV anymore. We kind of want to downsize to something smaller. I knew how to really uncover what they were looking for. I knew how to uncover why. I knew early on whether they were looking for a solution today or they were looking for a solution down the road. I knew whether I needed to push them a little bit to help them get past the anxiety of buying a car because there are a lot of people that are anxious about the relationship with money. I knew how to chat with them spend time getting to know them, build rapport in such a way that there was very, very little confrontation, if ever. I mean, I really had so few instances where there was confrontation, and that was just somebody who they were there to prove a point that day, that they could out negotiate the car guy, whatever. So I became the very best so that I could sell myself, so that I knew I was the best solution. Now, when I was selling cars, I was selling Hondas, and there was a car dealership about 45, 50 miles south, quick hour drive, actually in a town where a lot of people did it there. It was the closest Costco. So people did a lot of shopping there. So it was no big deal for people to go down and purchase a car while they're down there. But I knew that the one thing that that dealership did not have was me. And I actually told people that because I believed in myself so much, because I knew that I was the best, because I sold myself on that and backed it up with the work and dedication and determination to be the best. I sold myself on the fact that they would be less served. They would be underserved if they were working with anybody but me. My Honda Accord was no different than the Honda Accord an hour south. Our pricing actually probably was a little bit higher than their pricing because they were a larger dealership and could sell more on volume pricing. But why people worked with me was because I was able to impart to them that working with somebody other than me would be a less than desirable experience. It would not have the same benefit and value to them because if they needed something after the sale, if they wanted to come back and get re-educated on the vehicle, if they had a question or a concern, that they could not get that same service with somebody else as they could with me because I was sold on that. And so because I was so deeply sold on that, I was able to very confidently tell them, yes, you can get the same car somewhere else. Yes, you can probably get it a couple $100 cheaper somewhere else. So if you're looking to save a couple $100, absolutely, that's where you go. However, here's what you're going to get with me. You are going to get service after the sale. You are going to get the ability to walk away with my personal cell phone number, call me on a Saturday and say, hey, can we swing by? I know you're trying to sell cars, but can we swing by because we really forgot how to work the Bluetooth or program the stereo or whatever it would be. You've got me when you come into the service department and you're not being treated right. I hope that doesn't happen, but if it does, you can walk to my desk and say, Steve, I need you to take care of this. This is why we bought a car from you. Okay, now I'm going to transition that into real estate because I know so many of my listeners are not car guys. And so real estate, I had the same concept. In fact, when I was coaching my agents that worked for me, the very first thing I wanted them to do was become the very best so that they could convince themselves. Now let's talk about a real estate transaction. Most of the time when it comes to negotiating price, although this is changing in the industry and there will be a training course for you real estate agents coming out soon on how to negotiate, if you're the buyer's agent, how to best negotiate your commission, because that's a new legal standard that's changed and we are working on a solution because I've been negotiating my rates as a buyer's agent when nobody else was doing it. So I'm working on that solution, a way to provide that to you because you all need to know how to do so. So as a real estate agent, when you are negotiating rate, most of the time, to make this applicable to all, you're going to be negotiating rates when you are a listing agent. You're going to list somebody's home. So what happens is you're still going to put a sign in the yard. You're still going to take photos. You're going to do all those things that everybody does. They're all the same. I was getting 7% commissions during COVID when everybody else was doing 4 or 5% commissions because it was a competitive market. Why was I able to charge 7%? Why was my clients that were listing paying me 7% when they could pay the next person walking through their door 4 or 5% commission? Because I was so convinced. And this isn't just, again, convincing myself. I knew that if they would list their home with any other real estate agent, that they would be doing themselves a disservice, that they would not get the fundamental itch scratched, the issue that they really want, because I didn't just beg for a listing. I found out why they were trying to sell their home, what their timing looked like, what their motivation was, how do they want to communicate. They're all scared during this process. So I gave them comfort and I let them know that I am the best and I was the best. I made sure that the way we listed their home sold it for either top dollar if they had the time, or a quick and easy transaction if they were in a hurry, because not all sellers are the same. As a buyer's agent, I would let my buyers know that I'm negotiating that you know, the listing agent is going to be offering 2.5% most of the time. I actually charge 3.5% to represent you because of X, Y, and Z that I would do for them. In order to charge that extra 1%, I am going to negotiate with the listing agent and the seller that extra 1% as part of our offering. And I would get it. The reason was because, again, I provided so much value and I was so committed and confident to what services I provided to them. So those are great stories and those are ways that I was able to be successful. If you are a salesperson that's looking to figure out how to make more money, how to close more deals, how to be more confident, I'm happy to help. We offer that as part of our sales coaching solutions. We also are looking to provide some more programs specifically for salespeople. However, like I said in the beginning, every single person who's in business, if you have a shoe store, you are a salesperson, you are selling something. If you are a dentist, you are still selling why they need to come work with you. So taking it away from the story time, the history lesson of how I sold, let's relate this to you. In nearly every case, you are going to be offering a solution that somebody else already provides. Okay, let's use the dentist for a minute. You are a dentist, which means you are cleaning teeth, you are advising on health, you are taking x-rays and making sure everything is growing and doing what it's supposed to do. So is the other guy a mile away. So why would somebody select to work with you over going to a different dentist? You are a restaurateur and you have a restaurant. Let's say you have a tap house or a brew pub. Okay, there's probably three or four within 2 miles of you. Why would somebody do business with you when they can get a burger and a beer down the street? You are a medical injector and you are providing Botox and lasers and the stuff that makes your skin and your face and your health better. Well, so is three or four people within 4 or 5 miles of you. So why would they work with you? Here's the thing. I can't answer that question for you. You know your service offerings the best. We will be coming out with a small, short course soon on developing your unique selling proposition. We offer that as part of our holistic business coaching program. It is so important that you know why you are unique, why you are different, why you are better. And if you are able to punch holes in that, or if I am, then you need to go back and revise that. It's important that you know exactly what makes you better than your competition. That doesn't belittle the competition. Going back to the car sales, I wasn't ever talking down to about the other dealerships. I was saying where I would deliver more. So you need to take some time and figure out where do you deliver over and above. It's probably, most likely, 95% of the time, it's not going to be the product itself. Okay. Again, if you're a dentist, teeth cleaning is teeth cleaning, at least unless there's something I don't understand. If you are making we went to a restaurant last night. The same fries that we got were the same fries that we had at two other restaurants in the last month. So there's no difference in it. So what makes somebody come to your restaurant over another? It's really important that you take some time with this, that you sit down with yourself and you figure out what is your unique selling proposition, what again differentiates you, and then how do you deliver on that? And I think the vast majority of separation that comes is, who are you? Do you serve over and above? The only reason that I was confident in my first sale, the only reason I was confident every time that I told people why they should work with me is because I delivered on it. It was inconvenient for me to leave the sales floor to go take a jump-starting box down to the grocery store 5 miles away to jumpstart one of my clients who couldn't get a hold of her husband, but she had just bought a car about 6 months earlier, and a car wouldn't start. She couldn't figure out why. So she called me. She called in what I told her I would do. And I drove down there and I got her jump started, brought her vehicle back to the dealership, got her a loaner car on a, it was a Saturday or a Sunday because the service department wasn't open, and delivered on what I told her I would do. Had she purchased from an hour south, she never would have had that kind of service. They would have said, thanks for the car sale. Call our service department on Monday. Nothing I can do about it. If somebody comes into your restaurant and they get a less than good service, which is going to happen, we all know it. I've worked in a restaurant. We know it's going to happen. Own it. Say, I am sorry that you had less than good service, that that burger wasn't perfect for you, or the beer tasted flat, or we don't, you know, that was a horrible wine. I apologize. Some people like it. Replace it and own it and deliver. Let people say that, wow, working with this person, working with this business is so much better of an experience than their competitor. Not because of the product, but because of the experience and the service. Wrapping this up today, again, the first sale is the most important sale of your life. Until you have been convinced in yourself and know in your gut that you are delivering over and above everybody else and that you can articulate why, you are not going to find the success you want. Again, it is not price. Sometimes, okay, let's just say it. Yes, there are exceptions to that rule. There are people who are price. I know some of them personally. However, the vast majority of the people that are doing business with you or wanting to do business with you are not looking for the cheapest. They are looking for the best possible outcome, period. That's going to be your product. That is going to be the way you take care of them. That's going to be the personality of you. That's going to be the personality of your business. So take some time. Figure out what that first sale looks like for you. Figure out why you are the best, why you aren't the best and need to improve on that, and how you can best bring the absolute best value to your client. We're going to do a podcast in a few weeks about the difference between price and value. Price and value are not the same thing. I will tell you a quick teaser here. People are not going to buy a $30 book from you for $30. They're going to buy a book from you that is worth more than the $30 they're going to give it to you for. They don't want to exchange. Your consumers do not want to exchange like for like. They want to get the better value. That's not always price. In fact, most of the time it's not. Your job is to convince them that what they get as a total package is worth more than the dollar amount you're charging. That's a sneak peek. We're going to be doing that in a couple of weeks, the difference between price and value. For right now, focus on the first sale. Focus on what you know. This is not something you need to do with your team. This is something you need to do alone. These first three episodes, we're talking about self-work, things that you need to do to really make sure that you, your mindset, is right before you actually go out and try and exchange that item, that service, that thing that you're providing for funds. That's going to give you long-term business success, which will ultimately grow long-term financial success. Hopefully at that same time, you're also less stressed, more happy, energized, and able to spend more time with your family, spend more time on your health. Guys, again, this is a holistic approach. We are not trying to just find business success. If we're doing that, keep selling on price. If you're looking for overall fundamental success in your being, that's going to require you to first sell yourself. Hope you have a great week. I want to thank you again for joining me on this journey of success. We are going to be bringing in some expert interviews, some success stories, some transformative tips, solutions for all kinds of different things that need to be accomplished for you. Hope you have a great week. Again, please subscribe, like, share this episode. Want to keep growing this community, and that's what it's going to take. Let's make sure that we're all finding whole success in our business, our finances, and every other area of our lives. Thanks for tuning in again, and we will see you next week.